I thank God for all who have led us in worship. We are in a sermon series called Connected, the Power of Prayer. And today I want to draw your attention to 1 Kings chapter 19. I'll be reading verses 9 through 15 from the New Revised Standard Version. And the title of my sermon is Listening to God. At that place, he came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram." Let us pray. Lord God, in this preaching moment, I simply ask that you would help me to speak your word. Help them to hear your word. And Lord, help us all to do your word. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The Bible tells us that God speaks. God spoke to Eve and Adam. God spoke to Abraham, Moses, Isaiah, and Jeremiah. God spoke to Mary and Paul and many others. Have you ever wondered what God's voice sounded like back in biblical times? Have you ever wondered how the biblical figures heard God's voice? Sometimes I have wondered whether they heard an audible voice or whether they just sensed God was telling them something and responded with faith. I think the story of Elijah at Mount Horeb in 1 Kings 19 helps us to understand how we can hear God in our own lives. This text offers four key insights about listening to God. First, God speaks to individuals in a personalized way. Verse 9 says, Elijah went to a cave at Mount Horeb. But the original Hebrew uses the definite article. It says he went to the cave, not a cave. This signals that Elijah went to the exact same spot where Moses had encountered God back in Exodus chapter 33. It's important to understand that Mount Sinai and Mount Horeb are two names for the same mountain. So this was the mountain where Moses had heard God speak when there was an earthquake that shook the mountain. This was the mountain where Moses had heard God speak when there was a fire that sent smoke rising into the air. But this time was different, because God was not in the earthquake and God was not in the fire. This time, God came to Elijah in a new, distinctive, personalized way. Just as Elijah's relationship with God was not exactly the same as Moses' relationship with God, your relationship with God is not exactly the same as anyone else's. So God may communicate with you in a special, personal manner. Notice in verse 9 that God calls Elijah by name. What are you doing here, Elijah? God also knows your name and the number of hairs upon your head and the content of every secret hidden in your heart. Because God knows you intimately and completely, God is able to communicate with you personally. I once met a guy named Tyler who is highly concerned about nuclear weapons. When he finished college, he went to work for a nonprofit in California that sought to rid the world of nuclear arms. Tyler would spend his lunch break eating rice and beans, looking out over the Golden Gate Bridge, imagining how horrible it would be if there were a nuclear explosion there that killed 700,000 people. Tyler went to hear the renowned physician Patch Adams speak at a conference, and Adams challenged the audience by asking what each of them would be willing to do individually in order to rid the world of nuclear weapons. This question drove Tyler crazy. As he thought about it, he wondered what he could do. Strap himself to a silo until all nuclear weapons were gone? No publicity stunt could make it happen. The more he thought about it, the more he realized nothing he could do as an individual could make it happen. He began to see that he could not solve this problem, and he started to see his work at the nonprofit as fruitless. He was lining up speakers and planning conferences that could not save the world. So at that conference, right after he heard Adams speak, he found his way to a stairwell, and he sat there quietly alone, and he broke down, and he cried. He doesn't remember how long he was there before he heard the voice, and he doesn't remember if the voice was audible or mental, but he heard God say to him, "The world is not yours to save. Serve the one whose it is." A few moments later, Tyler left the stairwell in peace. He resumed his work, and he never fell into that type of despair again. A couple of years later, he found himself in divinity school, where he committed himself to Christ. Tyler still passionately advocates against nuclear weapons. He passionately advocates for nuclear disarmament around the globe. But now, he says, "The world is not mine to save, but I can serve the God who has already done so." God spoke to Tyler in a personal way. And God can speak to you in a personal way, too. The second insight about listening to God is that we are more likely to hear God if we listen attentively. In the story, Elijah gets away from the distractions of life. He retreats to a quiet place on a mountain. Verse 13 says, Elijah went and stood in the entrance of the cave. This indicates a posture of listening. I imagine Elijah standing on tiptoe, sticking his head out of the cave in order to listen carefully for God's voice. Elijah didn't pass the time passively, twiddling his thumbs. He took a proactive approach to listening to God. Elijah was keenly attentive to what God had to say. Several years ago, when my daughter Maggie was 2 years old, my wife Dana and I took her to a worship service at Waite Chapel on the campus of Wake Forest University. Partway through the service, a woman led the congregation in prayer, and she prayed, in part, that God would open our ears so we could hear God's word. She was still praying, and we still had our heads bowed and eyes closed when I felt two little hands grab a hold of my ears and start yanking on them. I looked over and I said, "Maggie, sweetheart, please stop, and please sit still. She's praying." And Maggie went, and she put her mouth right up next to my left ear and said, "She said, open your ears." That is a key aspect of prayer. We don't just concentrate on talking to God. We also open our ears so we can hear what God has to say to us. Prayer is a two-way conversation. We can be attentive to God's voice by reading the Bible carefully, prayerfully, and thoughtfully, especially the four Gospels that record the word and witness of Christ our Savior. We can also be proactive about listening to God by giving God a chance to speak to us whenever we pause to talk to God. Like Elijah, we can be intentional about listening to God attentively. The third insight about listening to God is that God often speaks through silence rather than an audible voice. Verse 11 says, God was passing by. Passing by is the language of divine revelation. In other words, he had something to tell Elijah. A forceful wind came and shattered the rocks to pieces, but God was not in the wind. An earthquake struck, but God was not in the earthquake. A fire ignited, but God was not in the fire. After that came the sound of a gentle blowing, as one translation puts it. God spoke in the stillness that followed the storm. God spoke in the quiet that followed the fireworks. God did not shout. God did not scream. God whispered ever so softly. Sometimes people want God to speak as loudly as thunder or as obviously as a message written in the clouds. But God often speaks subtly, even silently. The King James Version famously says it was a still, small voice. While this phrase is powerfully poetic, the original Hebrew is best rendered the sound of sheer silence. God spoke through silence. Isn't that a striking paradox? God's voice sounds like silence. And the next verse says, Elijah heard it. Now, how can that be? How can someone hear silence? I interpret this passage in light of the blue whale, the largest animal ever to grace the earth. One of the most fascinating things about this creature is its voice. Blue whales speak to one another across miles of ocean. They even sing to one another sometimes. Their vocalizations are incredibly loud, measuring between 155 and 188 decibels. To put this in perspective, that's louder than a jet plane. The upper end of that is as loud as a rocket launch. The crazy thing is, a blue whale could swim by your boat talking up a storm and you not hear a thing. You see, while blue whales speak at high decibels, they speak at low frequencies, between 10 and 40 hertz. The lowest frequency humans can normally detect is about 20 hertz. When we hear things like that at low frequencies, we don't hear them as much as we feel them. In other words, when the blue whale speaks at low frequencies, we can't hear it like a normal sound or like a human voice. Our only chance is to feel it, to sense its deep vibrations. I believe that's one way we can hear God speaking today. God often speaks in a way that we cannot hear with our ears, but we can sense with our souls. We can feel God communicating with us in the spiritual rumblings deep in our gut. Maybe that's why Christians sometimes say, "I feel led to do such and such," or "I feel like God is telling me such and such." We feel God's voice with the sensors of our souls. Perhaps the phrase about the sound of sheer silence indicates that Elijah did not hear an audible voice of God, but instead sensed soft rumblings in his soul that he interpreted as God's voice. The fourth insight about listening to God is that if we truly hear God speak, God will probably send us on a mission. In verse 13, Elijah finally hears God's voice with clarity. God says, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus and anoint Hazael king over Aram." Elijah didn't get a clear word from God until he encountered God in a personalized way. He didn't get a clear word from God until he turned down the noise of life and listened attentively to what God had to say. He didn't get a clear word from God until he listened to the sound of sheer silence and felt God's voice rumbling in his soul. But once he did get a word from God, that word was go. If we listen to God very much, we too are likely to hear God say, "Go." But preacher, someone will ask, how can I know that it's God talking to me and not just my imagination or something else I think I'm sensing? In my experience, listening to God has more to do with mystery than certainty. But my general rule is, if you have prayed about something and you feel like God is telling you something or calling you to do something, make sure it aligns with the word and witness of Christ and Holy Scripture. Make sure that it's in accord with the love of God and the love of neighbor. Maybe run it by a trusted Christian friend or family member, because God often speaks to us through Christian community. And if you receive confirmation through this brief process, I would encourage you to try it. Try whatever it is you think God may be leading you to do. We can hardly know with absolute certainty that God has told us to do something specific, but we can pray, and we can listen, and we can trust God. We can step out in faith and take a risk and give it a try. It very well may be God speaking to us. In the 1940s, Branch Rickey was the general manager of the Brooklyn Dodgers. He was also a member of the Plymouth Church of the Pilgrims in New York City, where Reverend Dr. Wendell Fifield served as pastor. One day, Branch Rickey walked into Pastor Fifield's office and said, "Don't let me interrupt you. I can't talk to you. I just want to be here. Do you mind?" The two men passed the time in silence. Ricky paced the floor back and forth, glancing out the window occasionally. Pastor Fifield worked silently at his desk. After about 45 minutes of quiet, Ricky suddenly slammed his fist on the pastor's desk and said, "I've got it." "Got what, Branch?" the pastor asked. Ricky replied, "I'm going to sign Jackie Robinson." As Ricky sank into the chair there in the office, he explained, "This was a decision so complex, so far-reaching, fraught with so many pitfalls, but filled with so much good if it was right, that I just had to work it out in this room with you. I had to talk to God about it and be sure what he wanted me to do. I hope you don't mind. Bless you, Pastor." And he left. According to Dr. and Mrs. Fifield, this is how the decision to break the color barrier in Major League Baseball came about in 1947. A man listened to God personally, attentively, and silently. And God said, "Go." On April 14th, 1947, the day before Jackie Robinson made his major league debut, a journalist told Ricky that all you know what was going to break out the next day. Ricky replied, "I believe tomorrow all heaven will rejoice." While the heroism in this case clearly belonged to Robinson far more than it belonged to Ricky, Ricky nonetheless shows us how to listen to God in our own way, in our own position, and how to respond faithfully. God has things to tell us too, things God wants us to do in this world. If we prepare to encounter God in a personal way, if we open our ears and listen attentively to God, if we feel God's voice amid the silent rumblings in our soul, God very well may say, "Go, go, Christian, go and seek equality in your sphere of influence. Go and make a key change in your line of work. Go and share the gospel with somebody who needs to hear it. Go and encourage somebody who's struggling their way through this pandemic. Go and serve. Go and help. Go and bless. Go and love your neighbor and give God the glory." Amen.